It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to our weekly outdoor show here on KETR. We've been doing this show for about 7.5 years now, and I enjoy bringing it to you as much today as when we first started. We do cover the gamut on topics. Today, our guest is Mr. Richard Cheatham. Now, Richard is a past president of the Dallas Safari Club, and Richard has got a lot of good information. I've visited with him a lot off the air here, but he's the president. Richard is now the president of the DSC Foundation, and there's a big push for a campaign to get the word out on what good hunting really does worldwide. It's called We Hunt for Life campaign. So, Richard, thank you, buddy, for spending some time with us and enlightening everyone on this new campaign.
Oh, thank you very much, Luke. We really appreciate the opportunity you've given us to get the word out about what we're trying to do.
And you've done a good job briefing me, or, you know, enlightening me. I have a pretty good working knowledge of what the We Hunt for Life campaign is all about. But kind of give us, if you don't mind, an overview for all of our listeners and tell them about what it really entails.
Sure. As hunters, we realize that we're although we understand, and we all hunt for different reasons, but we understand what those reasons are. But the vast segment of the U.S. population that neither hunts nor is anti-hunting doesn't really understand that. And those are the people that ultimately are going to have a big say on what the future of hunting is. So we decided that it was time that we, you know, change the approach on how we educate those people, how we get the information out about all the benefits of hunting. And, you know, people talk about the slogan, the We Hunt for Life slogan. We all asked ourselves, you know, why do we hunt? Ultimately, why do we hunt? And as I said, there's 8 or 9 different reasons, but we obviously hunt just for the adventure. That's one thing. We hunt because we like to eat wild game. We like to feed ourselves, our family, our friends, and those who are less fortunate. And we hunt for the benefit that it brings to wildlife. We hunt to be in a position to keep wildlife around, to sustain populations. And so ultimately, and I left out, we also hunt because of the benefit that it provides to other communities, and not just here, but across the world. There are a lot of people that rely on the hunting community and the dollars from hunters for not only revenue, but they rely on that game meat that hunters shoot. So we boiled it down to the fact that we hunt for life, and that's how we came up with the slogan that's the basis for this campaign on not educating not only hunters, but the non-hunting public.
Exactly, and you know, in much of the world, and more specifically right here in Northeast Texas, really, the dollars that hunters contribute are the primary reason that they're, for instance, here at home, you know, deer, eastern turkey up in actually Rio Grande. They've been reintroduced into a lot of areas in past years, but more recently, the eastern turkey. We as hunters, we get to, you know, wow, I'm excited. There's eastern turkey. I don't have to go to, you know, Kentucky to hunt them. But they're right here at home. And even if I weren't a hunter, there was benefit. I mean, you know, everybody gets to benefit from, in a way, from what goes back to the reason for it is the hunter's dollars. A lot of it, isn't it?
That's right, hunter's dollars and this system of well-regulated hunting. I tell my non-hunting friends when I get into a debate that if you see a pronghorn antelope up there between Dumas and Dalhart or going over towards Springer, you should thank a hunter. And if you see turkeys in the hill country when you're driving down 281, or Highway 29, you should thank a hunter. And if you see a herd of white-tailed deer in the bar ditch over there eating grass, you should thank a hunter. Hunters and the wildlife management agencies, and we've got a great one here in Texas, Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, are primarily responsible for the fact that we have such thriving and abundant wildlife populations in Texas. And some people don't like to hear that, but that's the truth.
It is the truth. And I think people of my generation are probably a good case in point, especially up in eastern Texas. You know, growing up in Red River County when I was a boy, I can remember on occasion on our little farm occasionally seeing a white-tailed deer, not very often, but I remember religiously hunting them with a little Mossberg 410 loaded with a rifle slug. I was out there looking for tracks and had very little knowledge about actually hunting deer, but that was in the when I was like, I was 10 years old in 1960. So, and then in the latter 60s and the 70s, there was a real population boom, thanks again to dollars, many of which came from hunters. The whitetail population just exploded. And then later on, you know, which I know a lot of our listeners up in Northeast Texas are aware of, the Eastern turkey, they were stocked. And before that, the Rio Grandes were reintroduced, weren't they, in areas where they...
That's right.
Yeah, where they'd been taken out, so...
Yeah, you see landowners who recognize the value of wildlife that suddenly or may alter, and it may just be a slight alteration, but they alter their ranch management practices and their farming practices because it benefits them to have wildlife on their property, and especially if they want to bring a hunter or let their grandson come out and hunt. But just a slight variation, providing a little bit of supplemental food, you know, a wheat field or a turnip patch or something like that, providing a consistent water sources, doing a little bit of predator control. Those practices that are designed to assist that wildlife population have been applied more and more and more across East Texas and South Texas and the panhandle for pronghorns, and we see the results. And you know, Texas is, sometimes people outside of Texas get tired of hearing us Texans talk about it, but Texans have done a really good job managing their wildlife.
We have. And you know, we were talking off the air about the big game numbers in Africa. You were giving me some numbers there. But thanks to dollars generated by hunting, many of the species are, you know, in Africa, they're back. I mean, there's good numbers, right?
There are. South Africa is a good example. Back in the 60s, I think the total head count of big game animals in South Africa was about 600,000 or 700,000. And the last number I heard most recently was that number was up to 18 million animals. And in Namibia, they'll tell you that their biomass, and what they mean by that is all wildlife, has never been higher, and they know the reason for that. It's because of hunting operations, game management, game ranches that have focused on cultivating their wildlife populations and protecting them. And they can work in harmony with cattle. Namibia's got a cattle operation over there just like South Texas. In fact, Santa Gertrudis is their favorite breed. But they manage their property now for wildlife, and as I said, that's not only does it help the big game animals we like to hunt, but it helps everything else. Namibia has never had a better wildlife population, and that same story is applied in every southern African country that allows big game hunting.
You know, Richard, Larry Wysoon is a good friend of both of ours, I know that. But he's also, for the past 7.5 years, Larry and I have hosted a one of my radio shows on Catfish Radio, a segment. And gosh, I don't know anybody personally that's had more experiences, you know, as a hunter over in Africa than Larry. He talks about it quite frequently on the shows. And the thing is, a lot of the meat, or I won't say a lot of, all the meat, say, you know, a buffalo or whatever over there that's harvested. I mean, he's told me many, many times, he says, those people eagerly await that game meat.
They do.
Yeah.
And it's for some of them, it's the only source of protein they have. And that's, you know, when I hear people saying, how could anybody shoot an elephant? I wish I could send them all a video I have that shows what that elephant looks like from the time that it was killed until 24 hours later when it's just a spot on the ground. Every single ounce of protein is used. I've seen people fight, skinners fight over who got the larger piece of the upper chamber of a stomach of an eland. And 285,000 pounds of meat were distributed in Zambia. And over there, a serving of meat is about 20% of a pound. So that's over a million meals just from the country of Zambia. And so that, nothing goes to waste over there. I tell people, the African skinners and processors put us to shame over here in terms of what type of maximization they get off of their game animals. And again, as you said, they need it, and they can't just hop in a car and run down to the local grocery store. These people are in desperate need of protein, and a lot of that comes from the animals that hunters kill.
Right, and who could not think that's a good thing? I mean, granted, the dollars are generated, you know, from permits, license, and many other ways too. But that money over there, it's put right back into much of it. I'm sure, you know, it's put right back into to game management.
Absolutely, anti-poaching is huge over there. Most of the money from these people that have these concessions and essentially big scale hunting leases over there, their anti-poaching patrols are funded by the monies that they raise off of hunting. Their ability to protect the wildlife that they have over there, their ability not only to protect the wildlife, as we've said, to feed people in the area, and to employ people. You have to remember that some of these operations are 2 hours away from the nearest village, and these people's, a lot of these people's livelihood depends on what hunting brings to them. So these benefits from hunting go far beyond what a lot of people allow themselves to think about. They are far-reaching, and that's exactly why we came up with this campaign, to let the world know that hunting is a crucial tool for wildlife management. And if you like the idea of seeing, whether it's herds of pronghorn in East and West Texas, or elk in Colorado, or a herd of zebra in the savanna of Africa, then you should support hunting.
I agree 120%, Richard. I do. They're telling me we've got about a minute and a half left here. I want to make sure that folks can go online, and I'd like to post this on our KETR website, too, a link. What would be a good website where people could go and learn more about this, Richard?
Yes, sir. Our website is www.dscf.org, Delta Sam Charlie Foxtrot.org, and they can learn about the campaign and the DSC Foundation and all the good things we do with the contributions and monies we raise from the Dallas Safari Club Convention, spend it on conservation, education, and initiatives to protect the American hunting heritage and the hunting heritage around the world. So we really appreciate the opportunity to get this information out to your listeners.
You bet. Folks, if you can remember, just go to KETR.org and then local programs and then our outdoor show. I know many of you listen online because might not be up when it actually airs, but we'll put a direct link and you can, I wish you would this week. I wish you would go on there and learn more about it. Richard, we have ran completely out of time. I have thoroughly enjoyed this. I've learned some things, and I want to thank you for spending some time with us today.
Luke, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thanks for all you do. I've been a fan and a follower of yours for a long time, and it's a privilege to be able to talk to you.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at KETR.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Texas Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.